ComicBookBookBook.com.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Thursday, August 30th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour and 10 minutes or so. We'll go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to have you with me here for this Thursday edition of the show. Two professional handicappers will join me. The first, Brad Powers from BradPowersSports.com, where I try to get through 14 college football games in that segment with Brad, so hopefully my voice decides to hold on a little bit longer than it has in the intro here for today's show. Second half of today's program, Tony George from Doc Sports will join us for more college football games with him. Then we'll see if he has any thoughts for the NFL preseason tonight or the Major League Baseball card, as he's having a fantastic season on the bases. Over at BangTheBook.com, we have you fully loaded for tonight's card, for game previews for the FBS versus FBS matchups. We've got my college football power ratings, NFL preseason power ratings from Danny Vorgs. We've got some NBA content rolling out, all 30 team previews, some stuff on tempo, some stuff on head coaches. Parker Michaels' NHL team previews have been coming out here this week. NFL, we got all the teams previewed for that. We've got a ton of stuff going on over at BangTheBook.com, where we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Bang the Book College Football Super Contest going to get underway here today. You've got until Saturday at noon to put your picks in for week one. Cash prizes available for those. Just sign up over at BangTheBook.com in that contest section. You can get involved in that College Football Super Contest. And then also we'll have our NFL Super Contest ready to go for week one. Once again, cash prizes and quarterly prizes available for that. And we plan to do something special for those that get a 5-0 week in either college football or the NFL. So a couple of great contests to get involved in over there at the website. Don't forget that this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. You sign up using that promo code BANG100. You'll get a 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. And we're going to have Scott Cooley on from DSI tomorrow talking about a very special promotion and a couple of contests going on over at DSI as well. So you want to make sure that you tune in for that on tomorrow's show. Two guests coming your way here on the program today. The first, the great Brad Powers from BradPowersSports.com. Brad, how's it going today, man?
It's going well. How are you doing on this fine opening Thursday of college football?
Man, I'm thrilled. You know, I've been talking about it here on the shows throughout the week, and I know you and I talked about this a little bit last week during our segment. This is the best part of it for us, being able to look at some actual games and some spreads, break down the market, look at the matchups and the situational angles. It's crunch time, man, and I'm thrilled.
Yeah, we'll see if all the hard work that you put in the off season paid off, and then no different than, I mean, obviously it's different. We're not throwing our bodies out there, but a lot of hours spent in the prepping for the upcoming season. We'll see if our assumptions were right about certain teams. I'm sure that'll be the case in some instances, and I'm sure we weren't right about some teams in other circumstances.
I got to ask you real quickly here before we start to break down these games, and again, going to try to hit 14 of them here in this segment, so we'll be kind of rapid fire. You may want to listen to this segment twice. I mentioned to you as we, we're coming on the show here just before we got live on the air. Seems eerily quiet out there in the betting market right now to me.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of line movement whatsoever. I mean, and that even includes today's four games between FBS versus FBS. We'll see what happens. I'm anxiously awaiting to see when the lines go up for the FBS versus FCS games today. I believe there's seven of them, or actually eight of them. That'll be the next, I would say, inefficient, softer market that's going to open up here in a few hours, and we'll see some line movement there. But, yeah, the four games today, and not much going on, and really not much going on across the board, even on Saturday's big games. But that'll change. We saw some big line movement, Colorado State, Hawaii. I mean, last week, Colorado State, was basically all summer long a 14-point favorite. And probably, 24 hours to less than 24 hours leading up to kickoff, Colorado State took heavy money. Line goes to 17. And that line movement could have been more wrong, obviously.
All right, so let's get into these games here. And we're going to start with the games that are coming up on Saturday. We'll probably circle back to some of these Thursday and Friday games during our Pick 6 segment to wrap up the show. Again, for our listeners that want to follow along and listen at home with their odd screens in front of them, sort by rotation number, because that's how we're going to do these in order here throughout the season. But, Brad, let's go ahead and start with this 3:30 Eastern kickoff on Saturday. Appalachian State in Happy Valley to take on Penn State, a game we have not talked about at all here this week on the show, game 157-158. Penn State laying 23.5, 24 the consensus number out there in the marketplace right now. Any worries about the Nittany Lions laying this big of a number with some of their losses over the summer?
You know, a little bit, especially on the defense side of the ball. And just, you know, recently Manny Bowen, who they thought they were going to possibly have, he was a starting linebacker last year, missed the last three, four games of the season. They thought they'd get him back, and he just announced he is again leaving the team. You know, power ratings-wise, even though I'm very down on Penn State this year, you know, power ratings are calling this one closer to 27. Now, with that being said, you know, I'm just – Appalachian State's got a track record in these spots, even though they lose a four-year starting quarterback in Taylor Lamb. I got to think they're not going to be overly intimidated by this atmosphere, like a lot of Sun Belt teams would be overwhelmed in this spot. You know, I'm going to trust the power ratings, though. If you can get a 23.5, I'm going to lay it. I mean, yes, Penn State loses Saquon Barkley, but I think Miles Sanders would be a fine replacement. And we've seen James Franklin in the past not be afraid to keep the foot on the gas pedal. And this one's just a lean for me. I don't expect to have a significant bet whatsoever. Lean Penn State minus 23.5.
Yeah, and you mentioned Appalachian State having a little bit of a track record with this. Last year, they didn't cover at Georgia. They were a 14-point dog, lost by 21. They were only outgained by 84 yards in that game against the Bulldogs team that, as we know, was the national runner-up, losing in the championship game. So they played very well against Georgia last year in the opener, took Tennessee to overtime 2 years ago as a almost three-touchdown dog, lost that game 20-13. So Scott Satterfield has his team ready for these big games. We'll see if James Franklin can do that. Any concerns about the Penn State offense with the replacement of Joe Moorhead?
Yeah, oh, of course. I think Moorhead's the bigger loss than even Saquon Barkley on that side of the ball. I will, you know, harken back a little bit to that App State Georgia game. I did watch that a year ago. A lot of those yards for App State, garbage yards. I believe Georgia was up 31-0 in that one. So keep that in mind. And also keep in mind, App State for the first time, you know, in 4 years, is going to be breaking in a brand new starting quarterback. Happy Valley is not necessarily one of the best atmospheres to do that, but. Penn State, we'll see. But they had a new offense coordinator for the bowl game against Washington and really didn't miss a beat there. Now an entire offseason is a little bit different. But, again, even though my power ratings are relatively strong on Penn State in this game, I'm not going to have a significant bet because you're right, App State has this track record of playing, you know, at least, you know, up to and above expectations against big-time opponents.
And, of course, keep in mind here, Penn State on the road at Pitt next week, something of a non-conference rivalry game for them. Last year's game, very competitive. Last year's game wasn't very competitive. 2 years ago, game was extremely competitive. So, and, of course, last year, when you look at the score for that Penn State-Pitt game, 33-14 final, but Pitt outgained Penn State by 30 yards in that one, 342-312. So I guess it was actually a little bit more competitive than the final score would indicate. Let's go to game 183-184 here. Another game we haven't talked about yet this week. Middle Tennessee State on the road in Nashville to take on Vanderbilt. Brad, this is a tough game for me because every single year I'm high on Middle Tennessee State. I've talked about this before on the show. Every year I like the Blue Raiders. Every year they play Vanderbilt and everyone kind of talks about them as, hey, this is going to be that Power 5 upset where Middle Tennessee is going to knock off an SEC team. They're going to beat Vanderbilt, finally win, you know, that big brother type of game for them. And it hasn't happened yet. Does it happen this year?
Well, I mean, the market thinks so because, you know, Middle Tennessee's taking big-time money here with the line coming down to 3. I mean, I guess I get some of the love for Middle Tennessee, but it's at the point now, and it looks like it wants to go to 2.5 with some extra juice. I'm going to have a Vanderbilt ticket. You know, last year, Middle Tennessee took a lot of money in the season opener against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt on the road last year was laying a field goal. Now at home they're laying a field goal. Did anyone watch the game from last year? Because, I mean, Stock still was healthy last year. He wasn't healthy. You know, he got banged up you know, a couple games later in the season, but he was healthy last year. He's held a season low 166 passing yards. I mean, it was men against boys early on. Vanderbilt cruised 28-6. I mean, Vanderbilt, you know, a lot of teams, when they're in these spots, you're talking about SEC teams or any Power 5 teams, and they're playing some of these little brothers, maybe they're not as focused, but Vanderbilt's been the one team that's been focused. You look at them against Conference USA the last 5 years, they're 8-0 against the spread. 2.5, 3 points, I'm laying it. This is the one game this week I'm not afraid to fade the sharp money, because I did it last year and had an easy win and cover. I don't know if it's as easy this year because Middle Tennessee's improved, and I think Vanderbilt's not as good. But, man, at home, laying 2.5, 3 points, yeah, give me the Commodores. I'm starting to like this as one of my top plays of the week.
So this is probably – I presume this isn't a power rating play for you, because I can't imagine that you have this number too much higher than where the market currently has it. This is just one of those things where you think that, you know, Vanderbilt, they're the SEC team. I mean, they're the stronger team. They're going to be the stronger team in the trenches. Yeah, there's this little brother Napoleon complex for Middle Tennessee that is a motivating factor, but it's been a motivating factor each of the last 3 years, and it hasn't helped them any. What is your actual power rating number for this game?
Power rating number for this one is, you know, we went to get the decimal points, 3.4 for Vanderbilt. So, I mean, look, let's talk. I think it's important to talk about that. I just talked about Penn State, App State having a difference of right around 3 points in that other one. Obviously, a bigger spread there above three touchdowns. I'm not as concerned when I'm 3 point difference. Now we got a line here right around a key number of three. And even though I'm only a half point off, to me, in some cases, this could be a little bit stronger. And then I just think about matchup edges that aren't always, you know, factored into a power rating. But yeah, Vanderbilt 3.4 here.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. I mean, again, we've harped a lot about power ratings here in the lead up to this season, because I think it's a good way to get a reasonable estimate of where these teams are. And of course, you know, kind of figure out where you are relative to the market. But there are situations where you're not going to listen to your power rating. You're going to make a play in spite of it, or maybe even if you've got an overlay, you just won't feel comfortable about a game for whatever reason, a questionable injury situation, a bad situational spot, something like that. So again, power ratings are a very important part of the process, but also you want to consider a lot of other factors as well.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I would say power ratings are good. I would say that gets you a leadoff single as far as the power rings, a good jumping off point to handicap on a game, but it's not the end all as far as the handicap goes. I know some people just do that, but, you know, I like to look at matchup-wise situational edges because those are all factors, and we're dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. The intangible portions of college football handicapping certainly play a bigger role a lot of times than even the NFL.
Well, and the last point I'll make here about power ratings, and then we'll keep moving on with these games, and I know that this is something that you do, Brad. You know, we use the power ratings for openers because we expect these lines to move in the direction of our numbers, and it will be a feeding frenzy on Sunday with all the overreactions that are out there after these week one games. You and the other sharp bettors that are out there in Vegas and also the sharp bettors offshore, there's going to be a ton of opening line movement here, which is largely going to be based on power ratings. But as you go throughout the week, that's when you start peeling away the layers of the onion, dig deeper into that handicap. So power ratings have a ton of value Sunday, Monday, trying to grab line value. As you go throughout the week then and break the game down some more, you can hold your position, you can build on your position, you can drink the juice and get out of your position. There are a lot of different things that you can do, but those power ratings are so helpful Sunday and Monday when these numbers are still pretty inefficient.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. That's exactly the process of, you know, how I go about it. I mean, when I'm betting them, and I'm very excited to go down, hopefully the win has them on the opening Sunday here. I know there's a couple college games to be played. But, yeah, just purely power ratings is what I'm looking to bet early on in the week on Sundays and Mondays. And then we dive into the other portions of the handicap throughout the course of the week. But we'll see the overreactions. I mean, we've already seen some significant line movement when dealing with teams that played last week. And I think there's a specific one where there's clearly an maybe getting to the point of a massive overreaction. You don't get more overreaction as far as, you know, on a week-to-week basis than going from week one to week two.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned part of the handicap, because this is a betting concept, going out there and getting numbers with your power ratings. The rest of the week, that's handicapping. We talk about the difference between the two, how you want to meld the two together to really maximize your betting portfolio here. That's really what this boils down to. You bet early in the week, you grab numbers, things like that. You handicap throughout the week. And then, of course, you can do some more betting on game day as these numbers may move into better range for you. So, all right, let's keep going with the games here and try to fit all these in that I have lofty expectations for. Game 201-202. This is a very interesting one. Neutral site game in Charlotte between West Virginia and Tennessee. I made a bold call earlier in the week that I thought Tennessee would maybe show up as something of a sharp side as we got later into the week. So far, we haven't seen that as the case. Volunteers a 10-point dog to West Virginia.
Yeah, and I get it. You know, this is the one game this week where, you know, you don't see a lot of, at least from the media aspect, you know, you see nothing but positive vibes, obviously coming out of Morgantown with Will Grier, an elite set of wide receivers. And on the flip side, you know, a lot of people aren't very high, obviously, on Tennessee this year, even though there should be excitement with the new head coach in Jeremy Pruitt. You know, pure power ratings, I got it at 9.4. Yeah, and that's maybe giving, you know, Tennessee some respect there. So maybe a lean as far as the power rings in that regard. You know, I'm not sure I want to lay the 10 with West Virginia. I mean, we are talking about a double-digit underdog as an SEC team. What I am talking myself into betting is the under in this one. It's up to 61.5, and maybe I'm Tennessee's defense a little too much credit just on, you know, pedigree. And obviously Jeremy Pruitt, that's his – you know, forte on that side of the ball. But I got to think if you want to take Tennessee in this game, if they're going to have any chance, I got to think that they want to run the football on West Virginia, control the clock, keep Will Grier off the field. To me, I would rather have that bet in the game, an under 61.5 ticket, than, you know, risk, you know, West Virginia going for a late score with Will Grier trying to pad his stats for the Heisman. I prefer the under at this point. And I would say if we're going on a scale of favorite totals throughout the week, it's probably among my top 5 to 7 totals of the week right now, under 61.5.
And this is one of those games, and I like the thought process behind what you're talking about there, and I certainly would expect that to be the game plan for Tennessee. By the way, I love Tennessee's defensive coordinator hire of Kevin Scherer, who was the linebackers coach for Georgia. I mean, you know, Georgia's defense is phenomenal year in and year out. 4 years in that role. Now he gets a DC role, obviously knows Pruitt pretty well. I really like the possibility for continuity here for Tennessee right out of the gate. And you generally don't see that from all new coaching staffs like we have here for the Volunteers. One of the reasons why I thought that this line would start to move in the other direction is who the hell wants to lay 10 points with West Virginia's defense? I mean, their defense is not going to be good at all. They're going to hang a big number in this game if they want to cover the 10. You've got Brad Powers talking here on today's show about liking the under. When you start looking at games being lower scoring than expectations, you kind of like to take the points in that type of scenario. My power rating number on this game is 8. I think I may end up with a Tennessee ticket. I'm going to hold out and hope I get 10.5 on this one just to get a little bit of extra line value, get that hook over the semi-key number. This could be a game that completely blows up in my face, but I think West Virginia is completely overhyped. I really do.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I mean, one way where I got after it this week as far as West Virginia, you know, their season win total has just been bet too high. It's up to 7.5, and I took the under with some positive, you know, vig on there. I didn't have to lay anything. Got some positive juice on that ticket. I just think, generally speaking, West Virginia is getting way too much love. I'm not a Dana Holgorsen fan. I do love Will Grier, no question about it, but man, I see this time in and time out. This is just your classic handicap of everyone looking at the skill positions, quarterback, wide receivers, and not really diving into the rest of the team. West Virginia's defense was well below average, and I would say even pretty poor last year. And they got to replace a 1,000-yard rusher. I'm just not seeing it. They got a depth-shy team. They got a very tough schedule, top 15 in terms of difficulty. I'm not buying West Virginia on the whole. That's why, you know, my biggest bet involving them this week has been under their season win total.
Well, it should be an interesting one, and we'll see. I mean, maybe I'll have some kind of bragging rights here on next week's show, not over you or anything like that, but over the market, maybe some of the people that are kind of driving up this West Virginia price, or I could be dead wrong, and, you know, we'll look for an overreaction on West Virginia next week, which is certainly a possibility, although they do play Youngstown State. So maybe we'll have to wait a couple of weeks and see what their line looks like against North Carolina State there in week 3. will slide one spot down the board by rotation number here. Game 203, 204 out on the left coast in Berkeley. North Carolina and Cal. Cal, a touchdown favorite here in this one. We have seen some adjustment to this number with the North Carolina suspensions. Are you surprised we're not over the key number of 7 here?
Yeah, I am a little bit because my power rating is right around 8, 8.5 here. So, you know, it went there early after the suspensions were announced. And obviously, when you dive into the suspension, some of them stagger. And then on top of that, North Carolina lost yet another defensive line due to injury since then. You know, I like Cal in this game. I had an earlier ticket on them, you know, at a much lower number, 5, 5.5. I just like Cal. I like Justin Wilcox. I mean, I love what I saw last year in one of the more improved defenses in the country. They got 18 returning starters. I think a little bit too much made about the loss of Robertson, a wide receiver, didn't even play last year. I'm not buying Larry Fedora. Never been, I would say, an overachiever outside that one season where they went to the ACC championship game. I think he's been underwhelming at North Carolina. Last year, I mean, California and Justin Wilcox outcoached, you know, the big-time North Carolina. I mean, California last year was in a terrible spot, 9 a.m. kickoff time, double-digit dog wins the game outright. It's not even as close as the final indicated. To me, I got the better roster. I got the healthier roster. I got the deeper roster. I got the better coaching staff. I'm at home. Unique travel spot for North Carolina. I'm going to lay it. Yeah, laid it earlier. Still like it now at 7. Take California.
Yeah, my number's 8 on this game as well. So right now, there's really not a whole lot of value. I've just been so busy getting everything caught up with the site and doing baseball and all that stuff still that I didn't get this one down under 7. A little bit frustrated with myself for that. But again, I mean, there are only so many hours in the day here. But I do want to ask you about this, Brad, and this will be kind of an interesting topic, I think. And I imagine we could go off on a significant tangent. Hopefully we don't, with some more games to get to. But what do you make of the fact that, you know, and you worked for Phil Steele Publications. North Carolina is ranked 2nd in the Coastal Division here based on the order in which he previews these teams in his magazine. Miami, of course, the clear-cut number 1 in the Coastal, but he had North Carolina number 2. We talk about a bowl bounce. We talk about, you know, even looking back at the last game we just talked about with West Virginia, the Will Grier Heisman train, all this summer press about West Virginia. Seems like maybe their perception a little bit inflated. Do you feel like maybe that happened with North Carolina here with the opening line for this game and, you know, the lack of action that we've really seen? Is that people kind of look at Steele, who, you know, I mean, this guide is kind of essential for a lot of people that do this. Do you think that maybe there was an overvaluing of the Tar Heels based on that?
Yeah, I do think so. But also, let me clarify that I did get down on North Carolina week 3 against UCF. And we're talking before Steele's magazine came out, when the South Point came out with Game of the Year lines. Third week of May, you know, I did attack North Carolina plus the points in that one, getting like 11. So initially, I thought North Carolina was going to be underrated, but because of, you know, obviously one of the more popular preseason mags, mag that, you know, I'm very proud to say I worked there for several years. I'm glad I did because I, you know, obviously if I wasn't living in that city, I wouldn't have met you, my friend. So, but yeah, now I think it's to the point where North Carolina is overrated in the marketplace. No, generally speaking, even with the suspended players, I'd still have North Carolina behind Virginia Tech. And I know Steele doesn't like Virginia Tech whatsoever this year, but I'll tell you what, on a neutral field, if Virginia Tech and North Carolina are pick 'em, I'll have one of my biggest bets of the year on Virginia Tech on that game. So I think they deserve to be behind Virginia Tech in the power rating there. I think North Carolina deserves to be behind Duke. On a neutral field, give me Duke and David Cutcliffe over Larry Fedora in that matchup. So, yeah, I just think right now it's a situation where North Carolina, even with the suspension, still a little overhyped in the marketplace. And I do look to take advantage. Now, what I like to do here real quick, and I know we got a bunch of other games, is, you know, when that magazine first comes out, and a lot of times, you know, I purchase it and get it on the app, I like to bet on teams in that magazine early, fully anticipating, you know, whether I like those teams or not. As soon as that magazine comes out, I like to bet on some teams because the market's really going to get ahead and follow a lot what's in that magazine. Then at the end of the year, at least the end of the summer, I don't mind, you know, coming back a little bit and calling teams a little overrated.
I like it. I like it. Trying to set yourself up some middles there. Very, very smart bankroll management from Brad Powers. Let's slide down just one more spot on the rotation number board here. Once again, game 205-206, Washington State and Wyoming. We all saw Wyoming's defense look fantastic. We saw its offense control the line of scrimmage against New Mexico State last week. Little bit of a step up in class here this week, I would say, against the Wazoo Cougars. But this one's been a steady stream of Wyoming money. Open three, there were some rogue 3.5s out there early in the week. Now we're sitting one or pick out there. What do you think about this one? I mean, is this an overreaction or is this where the line should be?
Yeah, my number, you know, I was higher on the market on Wyoming last week, and we talked about it on the show, and now maybe I'm a little bit lower because my line right now would say it should be right around 1.5, but I still like Wyoming. And maybe I didn't upgrade them enough. I mean, I think people, you know, see 29-7, okay, Wyoming exceeds expectations, but I don't think they realize how much they exceeded expectations in that game. I mean, New Mexico State got 90, you know, five of their 135 yards on a last-minute drive and still had negative 9 yards rushing. I mean, that was big boy football last week, a complete mauling of New Mexico State. And I'll say this, if you're checking out Wyoming's defense, I think they have three or four legit guys that are going to get drafted in next year's draft, led by Carl Granderson. I mean, that was some guys that you would see at the Power 5 level, and I'm talking the top 25, 30 teams at the Power 5 level, a couple of their guys on defense. Wyoming's great as a home dog. I know it's right around pick. Wyoming's absolutely terrible in opening games under Leach. Last 4 years, 0-4 against the spread. Failed to cover the spread by a combined 85.5 points. Wyoming just went. I think they're the better team. They're a more physical team. I think Washington State's a little distracted. You know, Pokes win this one. You know, lower scoring game, but I think Wyoming wins the game outright.
Yeah, and this was a game I didn't even adjust Wyoming after last week because my number was 7.5, closed 5.5. I adjusted New Mexico State down just for looking as bad as they did. I had this game pick 'em coming into week one before Wyoming even played a game. So I'm very happy to see this one moving towards my line. But again, I'm also upset with myself for not grabbing the 3.5 early in the week because you had to think this number was going to come down. Washington State, you know, I mean, they're replacing a quarterback. Mike Leach was halfway out the door over the summer. It's a very strange spot for the Cougars here and also having to go and play in altitude. Now they do that. They play in Utah and Colorado in the Pac-12, but Laramie is even higher than that. And of course, you know, this is a strange travel spot that they're not really used to. So interesting game to say the least. And I'll be very curious to see. I'm kind of hoping, and nothing against anybody who has a Wyoming ticket out there, since I missed the 3.5, I'm kind of hoping Washington State does win and look really good so that I can keep my Wyoming position and look to come back on them here, you know, a couple more times over the next few weeks, because like you, I think the Cowboys are a very, very solid team.
Yeah, no question about it. I'm rooting for Wyoming regardless, but, you know, I'm hoping for a close game. I hope they don't exceed expectations by 2-3 touchdowns because there's opportunity for Wyoming. You know, it'll be very anxious to see what a line is against Missouri coming up in a game of very contrasting styles. We're talking week two, so we'll see. And keep in mind another big loss for Washington State, Alex Grinch, defense coordinator at Ohio State. Another significant loss for them.
All right, let's go to game 211-212. I imagine you've got some takes about this one. Michigan on the road in South Bend against Notre Dame. This number's anywhere from pick at Bovada to 2 at Bet Online. It's kind of all over the place, but still not really crossing any key numbers or anything like that. Shea Patterson's first start for Michigan. We'll see what Brandon Wimbush looks like for Notre Dame. What are your thoughts on this one, Brad?
Yeah, I like Michigan. I mean, it's an underdog series. I know the line's closer to pick, but, you know, Michigan's behind Notre Dame in the rankings. They're on the road. In most spots, they're a dog here. At least that's what it's flipped to. So keep that in mind. But I can't get over the fact that I think Michigan's got a significant advantage in this game. We're talking about a game that's pick. So, I mean, you look at that Michigan defense with Don Brown. Taking on a Notre Dame offense that lost its top running back, top wide receiver, arguably the top two offensive linemen in college football last year. The NFL draft thought so because both guys went in the top 10. Notre Dame loses their best assistant on the team, at least for the last 5 years, and Harry Hiestand, the offensive line coach. Brandon Wimbush couldn't complete 50% of his passes last year, and he had games against Wake Forest, Miami of Ohio, and whatnot. You think he's going to complete 50% of his passes against one of the best pass defenses in the country? Practice reports haven't been good. I think Shea Patterson, look, I think he's a little overhyped, but I don't think anyone cannot say that he's not a significant upgrade over what Michigan had at quarterback last year. He is an upgrade. Whether it's a 7 or 10 point upgrade that some people think, or it's just 3 or 4, he's an upgrade. I like Michigan in this game. They just obviously win the game outright, and wouldn't be a bit surprised that they won by 7 or more. I like the Wolverines.
Where do you think this number goes? I mean, right now it looks like because Bovada is sitting pick'em, it implies to me that Michigan's a little bit of a public side here in this one. They were a favorite over the summer by a point, couple points. Now we've got Notre Dame favorites, so maybe some of the sharp investment looks to be a little bit on the Fighting Irish side. You know, we see the stats about Michigan. You've talked about this one before with Michigan about it's been, what, 12 years, I think, since they won a game on the road against a ranked opponent. It's been a very long time for them to do that. That's a stat that'll get some run over the next couple of days. Premier primetime matchup, huge betting handle, two generally public teams here. Does this thing swing one way or another?
No, yeah, I don't think so. I'm very strong in Michigan in this game because of a significant matchup edge. I mean, Notre Dame, as far as a pure power rating, I have Notre Dame by one. So I don't think is it going to go to 3 one way or the other? I don't think so. They're just going to be, you know, right around this pick range with a team favored by 1, 1.5, or the opposite. Obviously, I think it swings there, but I would be stunned if this game got to 3 on either side, because I think you'd have significant money immediately come in on the other side. I think Notre Dame won. If I had to predict where to close, Notre Dame won sounds about right to me.
All right, let's talk the Sunday and Monday games here this week. We haven't done too much chattering about those here on the show, so let's go to Sunday night, Miami and LSU. This one, neutral site game, of course. LSU getting 3.5 in this one, and this is one of the most interesting lines of the week to me. It is a standalone Sunday game. The betting handle is going to be off the charts with no NFL on Sunday for people to bet on. So you've got this Miami team that everybody agrees is going to win the Coastal Division, probably do so in fairly convincing fashion. Their season will come down to how they play in the ACC title game against the Clemson Tigers. LSU, nobody thinks anything of LSU this year. Joe Burrow, Ohio State transfer, the starting quarterback. Everyone thinks Ed Orgeron very firmly on the hot seat. Certainly seems like that could be the case. LSU not doing nearly as well from a recruiting standpoint under Orgeron, so maybe we're kind of expecting this drop-off to come for them. And yet, this line's only 3.5.
Yeah, I took a position early on Miami. There were some 2.5 to be had out there at certain times throughout the course of summer. Went ahead and took that. It scares me that Miami's getting a lot of hype. LSU's getting thrown in the trash, but I mean, I think Miami last year, keep in mind the team that started, I thought they faked their way to 10-0, but I think regardless of what your thoughts on Miami were last year, this year's team's better. Than last year's team. There's some question marks on the offensive line, lost a couple key guys on defense, but just generally speaking, another recruiting class, it's year 3 under Mark Richt. I think they're better than last year's team. On the flip side, I don't know how you can take a position and say LSU's better than last year when they're, you know, if you look at the returning experience, they're number 129th in the country. First time since 1974, they don't return a running back that had a rushing touchdown the year before. Joe Burrow doesn't move it much for me. He can never lock down the starting job at Ohio State. You're talking about his very first start here in front of the big lights against a very talented Miami defense led by a very experienced linebacker core. I don't really – after laying 2.5, you know, I really don't want to recommend to a lot of people out there, you know, laying 3.5, but slight lean Miami in that regard. I'm going to tack the under. I know it's starting to get some money in the last day or so. It's dropped a point, but I would say under. I just think both defensive lines will control the game. I just think Miami's got a little bit more experience at the skill positions. That's why I like the Canes, and obviously I think Mark Richt is a superior coach to Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I took Miami at 3 with one of the 3s that was out there because I figured they wouldn't be out there very long. My number is 6.5 on this game with Miami, and that's what concerns me. And, you know, we talk about looking for context clues out there in the betting market and looking for some of these, reading between the lines, reading the tea leaves, whatever you want to call it. The fact that this thing isn't 4 yet and that some of the LSU 3.5s have extra juice slapped on them offshore does worry me a little bit. But this is also that time of the year where if you've got positions, you want to try to trust them. So if this was a game in week 6 or week 7, and I'm looking at this one, I've got it 6.5, but it's dug in at 3.5, not going any higher, I'd be a little bit more worried about it at that point. It would kind of, you know, catch my attention a little bit more. But it is still worth mentioning here on the show that, you know, I think this one does eventually push through 4, whether it's public action or sharp action. We'll probably have to wait until game day to figure that out. But, and the fact that this one just doesn't rise the way that it probably should, very, very interesting, especially with this being a standalone game.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, there's when you're, you know, taking a position, it's week 7, week 8, and your number's significantly off and you're not seeing something, that's one thing. But, you know, this time of year, look, there could be guys that have inside information. There could be guys that have deeper pockets. But, you know, generally speaking, I think if I went 1 through 130, I'd like to think that I have, you know, at least more knowledge on these teams on a team in and team out basis than the rest of the market. For the most part, there could be individual circumstances or someone knows a little bit more, but you got to trust your process, trust your numbers this year, because we don't have data points. And no matter how sharp you are, there is not a data point. Even head coaches on teams that know their team better than anyone in the country still have got a little bit of butterflies in their stomach, because you really don't and necessarily 100% no until these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids get out in the field and actually play something. I would say you need to trust your numbers more often than not this year and not be so concerned if the market's not getting, you know, closer and closer to your particular power rating on the game.
All right, we haven't seen a ton of games move through key numbers, at least not since they settled in the offshore market. This one has. Virginia Tech and Florida State up from a 5.5, the opener at Bookmaker, to 7.5, a standalone Monday night game here in the ACC. Going to have tons of investment on this one with no Monday night football until next week. What do you think about this game here, Brad, with Florida State now over 7 at 7.5?
Well, I can tell you my favorite bet that I made as far as week 1 goes in college football. Got Florida State a pick at South Point. So I'm very happy with that. I don't expect to get involved other than that initial investment. I'm not even looking to middle or anything in that. I couldn't get a 14-point middle on a Notre Dame-Temple game last year. So my thought process for the most part is I'm not going to try to get greedy and try for middles. If I can't get one on a 14-pointer, unless I really like the other side and would have a bet on the other side, then now, of course, I'm not afraid to do it. But happy with my initial position at 7.5. Boy, the market's starting to expect a lot from Florida State, even though, I mean, pure power rings, I think it should be 8, 8.5. But, you know, there comes a certain trust in that number when I haven't seen Willie Taggart, you know, what his performance is coming out on the field. I expect an electric atmosphere. I would say, you know, there's a lot of important games in week 1, but as far as a conference game, it doesn't get any more important than this. I just think Florida State's got a significant matchup edge. They got a very experienced offense moving up tempo against an inexperienced Virginia Tech defense that's a little depth shy. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Florida State wears them out a little bit in the second half. But, boy, I don't think you make money long-term laying more than a touchdown against Bud Foster and Justin Puente. So, right now at 7.5, I got no bet. I'm anxious to see if the total continues to drop. A lot of money on the over early on, but now a lot of money's coming in on the under. I might actually talk myself into an over ticket when it's all said and done.
All right, let's go into the pick 6 segment here. 6 games, rapid fire fashion. Let's go ahead and throw something out there for the same day listeners and start the pick 6 with game 135-136, Northwestern and Purdue. Big time conference game here tonight. Possibly significant implications in the Big Ten West. Purdue, we'll call it a 1.5-point favorite as a consensus number.
Again, won't have a Purdue plus ticket in pocket. Don't have one at the current number too much. But if you absolutely have to get involved on that, yes, I'll lean Purdue. I like Jeff Brohm. I think the offense is much improved this year. We'll see. You know, if you trust Nick Holt like you do, like Adam Burke, then I think you got to like Purdue in this game because the offense is going to be improved. It's just, you know, whether or not that defense takes a couple steps back or maybe a half step back this year.
All right, let's go to Friday here. Game we haven't talked about at all on the show this week. Game 141-142. First game on the board for Friday. Utah State on the road in East Lansing getting 23.5 against Sparty.
Yeah, I mean, I get why a lot of people would want to take Utah State. They're very experienced, 18 returning starters. The problem is Michigan State brings back 19. And, you know, the reason I can't really talk myself into Utah State ticket is I looked at those games last year at Wisconsin, lost 59-10. They were up 10-0 at halftime at that one, or at least a point in the second quarter, and lost 59-10. At Wake Forest, lost 46-10. Because of those two things, I'm a little leery taking the big numbers there when they got blown out last year. At 23.5, I slightly lean Michigan State in that one. Won't have a bet on it.
All right, let's go to Saturday, and let's talk about a team that played last week in week one. UMass blew away Duquesne, as they were kind of expected to do. This is game 163-164. The Minutemen take on Boston College here. The Eagles laying 18 with probably the most expectations they've had in several years.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell I like you. We're talking here, you know, leans and likes and bets. I like UMass, and I would bet UMass even at the current number. I think Boston College being a preseason darling, I mean, you look at their season win total, South Point went from 5.5 to 7. No other team in the country moved that much. I think they went from underrated to overrated. I like the game under belt. UMass not afraid of the big boys. Last couple of years against Power 5 teams, they're 5-1 against the number. Average cover by 2 touchdowns per game. They nearly won outright at Tennessee and Mississippi State last year. Boston College 0-8 against the spread home openers. I like UMass plus the 18.
Sounds like we might have hit on a little bit stronger of a position there from Brad Powers in this pick six segment. Let's go a couple spots down on the board. Game 169-170. Indiana, a 9.5-point favorite on the road against FIU.
Yeah, I mean, the money's pouring in on FIU, and Butch Davis did a great job last year doubling the season win total for FIU. I'm not a big Tom Allen fan, but, boy, Peyton Ramsey will start at quarterback. You know, their top running back, Morgan Ellison, suspended for the game. You know, my number's close to where it was for most of the summer, at like 12, in the 12 range. So, right now, under 10, a key number. I'm starting to warm myself up into having an Indiana ticket minus the points.
Yeah, this is probably the one that's the most off from my numbers now. I've got Indiana 15 in this game. I'm way down
wow.
at FIU, which, you know, I mean, maybe I need to change that FIU position a little bit, but I think Butch Davis was more smoke and mirrors than anything else last year. So we'll see if that's an accurate position, but I may end up with an Indiana ticket in that one myself. This could be a real fun game here. Game 181-182, SMU on the road at North Texas. Could be a big-time shootout here in this one. Total is coming down a little bit, though, with the Mean Green favored by 4.5.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, SMU dominated North Texas last year. Maybe not necessarily as far as yards go, but North Texas got a lot of garbage yards in that one, so keep that in mind. But, you know, I just look at home teams, 8-1 in the series. The Mean Green 6-0 at home last year. They're the more experienced team. Sonny Dykes, yeah, I don't mind the hire at SMU. I thought he was in over his head at Cal, but higher scoring game. I do like what I've seen from North Texas the last couple of years. I'm going to lay the 4.5. That's a lean on North Texas.
That's a sneaky good game. I know it's going to be overshadowed by a lot of the other games that are out there in that primetime time slot, but if you can get eyes on that one, I think that's going to be a real fun one to watch, to say the least. Couple spots down on the rotation number board here. Game 185-186 as we wrap up the pick six segment. BYU and Arizona. Arizona 11.5-point favorite, pretty much market-wide, straight 12 or 2 out there. This is a very fascinating game, too, because you got a BYU team that was not good at all last year. Arizona team now with Kevin Sumlin. And this is a number that's gradually moved down throughout the lead-up to the season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my number is right around 14, so I'm definitely leaning with Arizona here. I actually prefer the under at this point, though, at 60.5. You know, keep in mind, as much as, you know, I like Khalil Tate, and I think it's a very good match as far as Kevin Sumlin coming over. I mean, defense has figured out Khalil Tate at the end of last season. I mean, he only had 118 combined rushing yards the last three games. That's combined. And keep in mind, that's after he ran for 300-plus against Colorado. Arizona's defense, I think, has improved. 9 returning starters is probably their best defense they've had in 5 years. Who knows what BYU is going to be on offense. I'm going to take under 60.5. That's probably the games we've been talking about today, probably my favorite total, under 60.5, BYU-Arizona.
Brad Powers from BradPowersSports.com. We did it, man. We got through the 14 games I was looking to get through here. What's going on over at the website right now?
Yeah, at the website right now, if you're looking for not only this week but the upcoming season, both college football and the NFL, it's my newsletter. I mean, guys, I write a write-up on every single college football game, give you top picks for the week. There's five in this week's issue alone. NFL write-ups on every single game, all the way through the Super Bowl. It's not. It's a very reasonable. If you just want to dip your toe in the water as far as this market goes, it's $79 right now. That special, that price is going to be going up after these games kick off this weekend. That's an early bird special, $79 for my newsletter. You get it emailed to you each and every Wednesday. Last 3 years combined, we're talking a 500-plus game sample size as far as top picks, 55%. That's making you guys some profits. That's BradPowerSports.com.
And you can follow Brad on Twitter, at Brad Powers and the number 7. Brad, as always, man, appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Take care, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Strong stuff there, as always, from professional handicapper Brad Powers of BradPowersSports.com. Can't believe we got through all of those games that I was looking to get through there in that segment. We got one more segment here coming your way on this Thursday edition of the show. That is with professional handicapper Tony George of Doc Sports. Tony, how's it going today, man?
Well, it's a little hectic, a little nervous, a little hectic. Guarded optimism, you know, ready for college football here. Kind of the soft open last week, hard open this week with a ton of games and a dangerous board. A lot to figure out. So between that and doing the WNBA playoffs and, of course, Major League Baseball is continuing to stay hot. There's just – and, of course, week four of the NFLX, which I think there's one game I like there. It's just been a hectic week and a hectic morning. I almost forgot to call you until I got your email again. I was my head's kind of in about six different places at one time, so – and doing a lot of radio spots as well. So it's obviously an exciting day for a lot of people here with football officially more or less here. It's kind of the, you know, the grand salami today. So here we go. Let's hopefully we have a great season this year, a little bit of a down year last year. So I'm anticipating a great opening weekend.
Well, I certainly appreciate your time. I know that it is a very hectic time of the year, to say the least. And, Tony, I got to say, before we get into breaking down these games and maybe taking a look real quickly at exhibition and the MLB, I got to say, it brings a smile to my face to hear you say you've got that nervous anticipation, that nervous excitement, even though you've been doing this for as long as you have. I mean, just, you know, a lot of people like it. You know, people throw around that expression of, oh, it's like Christmas morning, and they overuse the hell out of it. But it really kind of does have that feeling for us in this industry.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's my 26th year in this business. I date myself. I just turned 50. I've been doing this since my mid-20s. And, you know, I kind of get this way every year. And then, you know, over at Docs, you know, we've got running some great specials and putting on, you know, hundreds of clients. And so my concern is, unlike, you know, maybe a lot of these shysters in the marketplace, none of them on your show, of course, but there's a bunch of them out there. There's a lot of options and a lot of choices. And I kind of like to surf around the internet and look at some of these sites, and they got the Super Lock of the Millennium on Thursday night. This is an 8-unit play. And I'm like, what are you thinking? And people are buying into this. And I worry, you know, as I always say on your show, and I'm probably maybe one of those boring guys you have on your show, but less is more. This is not the weekend to spread it around. This weekend here is to pick and choose your spots wisely and then take a look at these games just from a fan perspective, just as a lover of football, and look and maybe get some questions answered. Nebraska, for instance, what are they going to do? They've been steamed up from 21 to 26 points with a quarterback that's never started a game. Everybody knows I'm a Husker fan. I went to school, college there, but never played a game, a whole new offensive and defensive coaching staff, a new head coach, you know, a ton of young players that have not seen a Division I football game, including the quarterback who's 18 years old, you know, and here and off a 5-win team to go a bowl game, you're laying 26 points, and, you know, you buy into this media hype. Oh, Scott Frost isn't playing in the game. Last game he played, he beat Tennessee and Peyton Manning in 1997. That's the last college game he played in. So, you know, it's one of those situations where I worry about clients getting overly excited and just throwing around a bunch of money when you don't need to. You know, there's going to be 26 weeks of football here. There's plenty of time to bag the book and make some money in the meantime, but spread it around thin, watch and learn, you know, figure out the Michigan Notre Dame game. That's a game you want to sit back and watch and learn, see what everybody's got. So that's why I have that nervous anticipation, not only for myself, but for the betting public out there.
Oh, and you mentioned that Akron Nebraska game. I know it's not on our list to talk about, but you mentioned it last week on the show as well. So, you know, it is a game that obviously you've been thinking a lot about, and it's one of those for me. I mean, my number is 19.5. So at this point, I'm kind of getting to this scenario where I almost have to bet Akron on principle alone. If I do all this work over the summer, come up with numbers, power ratings, preview all these teams, all that kind of thing, I'm looking at almost a touchdown overlay now based on my number. And it sucks to have to bet a team like Akron in week one because they're going to be very, very bad. But it's all a matter of trusting your numbers and trusting the work that you've done. And like you said, I think you've kind of got this follow the leader mentality about Nebraska just because of Scott Frost. And look, they may win this game 42-3. And I guess it wouldn't surprise me because Akron could be really bad. But I mean, this number is, you know, relative to what I have, getting out of control. And that's the thing, you know, in week one, you want to trust yourself, but sometimes it's not easy to bet these just awful bottom feeders.
Yeah. You know, it's, I do a podcast with Scott Spritzer out here in Vegas every Wednesday night called the Vegas Beat that goes up online. And last night we interviewed Chris Schmidt. He is the lead host of Hell Varsity Radio in Lincoln, the Husker Network. And nobody knows Nebraska football better than Chris Schmidt. I used to work. He used to be my intern when I was in Lincoln starting out in broadcasting. That's how far we go back. And we talked about, you know, there's probably, and he did make a good point, which I thought was interesting. He said, there's probably not going to be a more electric crowd in college football this weekend than in Lincoln, Nebraska. The anticipation is palatable. You could just cut it with a knife. You know, they've got their favorite son back. They got rid of Mike Riley. He's a nice guy, but couldn't win a game. You know, you got Frost coming off a magical year at Central Florida where they beat Auburn in a bowl game and went undefeated, you know, and all. But you bear in mind, you know, this is a game where Nebraska's still cutting their teeth. You know, and the other thing about Nebraska, which is interesting, you got to start worrying about the durability of a dual threat quarterback here, because the guy that Adrian Martinez was named the starter this week, the guy that he beat out, the second he found out he wasn't going to start, he left the team. So now you got a couple of freshmen in there that have never seen any action backing him up from a depth issue. But, you know, I think this could be a game where you're right, a 42-7 or 42-10, and bear in mind Akron brings back two guys on offense, but a 42-7 ball game would not surprise me. But it also wouldn't surprise me, Adam, to see a team like Nebraska with all this new stuff going on and all this kind of shock and awe for this young team to really struggle in the first half and maybe come out of the first half with a 13-3, 13-7 type ball game, and then maybe settle down in the second half, maybe pour it on. Then the question is, do they have enough moxie to pour it on and separate themselves by 26 points against, you know, a Division I football team with a good head coach? Terry Bowden is not a slouch. I mean, let's face it. He hasn't had much to work with in Akron, but, you know, they're getting paid a bunch of money to come in there and show up, and he'd love nothing more than to really kind of spoil Frost's debut. So it's a dangerous game from that perspective. But, you know, if I had to play it, you know, if getting an added touchdown on a point spread steam is awfully hard to pass up. That way I'm just going to stay away from it. And this is one game tomorrow Saturday. I am just going to put on my Husker gear, go find a little spot to land and just watch it as a fan and see how they do. And I sure hope they do well, because obviously we both know Nebraska has not been in the narrative of college football for about 10 years.
All right, let's get to the four games that I'm looking at here that I wanted to touch on today's segment. And let's go to Friday night, look at game 147-148, Colorado State and Colorado. This is a neutral site game in Denver. These two teams play pretty much annually in this rivalry matchup. Colorado is now up to a 7.5-point favorite. And it feels like this is solely because Colorado State looked awful last week against Hawaii. lost at home as a 17-point favorite, scored a lot of their points when Hawaii had kind of packed it away, and also Colorado State gave up 43 points to Hawaii. So we've got an overreaction here, but is it enough of an overreaction to actually take the chance of playing the Rams this week?
Well, you know, they were fully exploited last week. Number one, their head coach, Mike Bobo, is not well. He's been up at Mayo's. That kind of think that team look a little – they just looked awfully disorganized last week, and they allowed 613 yards to the Rainbow Warriors, which is just unbelievable. They kind of found the rhythm in the second half there. They made a valiant comeback. I just think that coming out of the gate, they just weren't sharp, and they just made a lot of mental mistakes in that game. But bear in mind, one thing, everybody listen to the show, never put 100% stock in what you saw the week before. You know, and that goes in the NFL too. You know, you got to put that behind you. You know, I look at the second half of that game and how well they played. And then I turn around and take a look at Colorado. You know, they regressed last year, you know, after they had a 10-4 year in 2016. And, you know, they are 3-1-1 versus the spread in this showdown here. But, you know, this is one of these Colorado's down this year. And bear in mind, Colorado's got Nebraska on deck. They got a trip to Lincoln they're worried about. I think these in-state rivalry games, whether it's Colorado, Colorado State, Iowa, Iowa State, you take a look at some of these interstate rivalries, big games every year. This is a big game in the state of Colorado. This is a huge game for the Rams, much more than it is the Buffaloes, because they're the little sister. The only way I can look in this game is to take, because this line's been steamed up, because there's been some overreaction by the public and the odds makers are trying to take advantage of it and make them lay the wood with Colorado, who hasn't played a game yet, because playing a game, as you know, just like tonight, you know, even though New Mexico State looked like dog crap last week, they've got a game under their belt. And that's a big advantage when it comes to playing in a game like this. And I think I would lean Colorado State in the points tonight.
This was a game that was 6 before Colorado State played. So we have seen that move through the key number since Colorado State first played. My number over the summer was 4, or my number earlier on in August was 4.5. I made a 1.5 adjustment down on Colorado State just because their defense looked so much worse than I expected them to. So my number is 6, and now we've gone through the key number, but I still feel like I need more of an overlay in a spot like this where Colorado State, you know, last week just didn't look good. And, you know, I mean, look, yeah, Bobo's back, and that's fantastic. And, yeah, they've already played a game. This is also a quick turnaround for Colorado State, having played on Saturday. Now they play on Friday. How much can they implement? How much can they change having Bobo around for those 4 days worth of practice or something like that? So I think it's a tough game for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, you've got, what, 6 FBS games on Friday night to look at? I'd probably look for better opportunities, personally.
Yeah, you know, you could actually see a higher scoring game here. That's one thing, you know, you look at, especially in week one, that I've always looked at, is a lot of people forget, you know, you can bet totals. And there's a lot of games out there where I think there's some advantages, you know, with the totals. And, you know, this game might be one of them. I think there's going to be some scoring. Obviously, if Hawaii, I mean, let's just be honest, if Hawaii can put up that many points, that many yards against them, I don't see why Colorado couldn't. And I'm sure they'll make some adjustments. And the one thing you did notice about watching that game, for lack of a better term, was how well I think Colorado State did at making some adjustments at halftime and kind of getting their quarterback back in the game, and I think that might be right tonight or in this game, where you might be able to, you know, seriously take a look at the totals play, maybe play a little overplay on that.
All right, let's go to Saturday here. We'll go to game 173-174. Texas takes on Maryland. I know Nebraska's in the Big Ten now, but I know that you've always been out there in Big 12 country. So when we do these segments with Tony, we're going to try to focus on the Big 12 as much as we can. We're not going to peel back the curtain on any of his premium selections in a general sense, but we will look a lot at the Big 12 during his segments. And you've got a Texas team here that's now almost a 2-touchdown favorite for an early kickoff in Maryland. But Maryland, with the DJ Durkin situation, the unfortunate very tragic death of Jordan McNair. A lot of things going on here for the Terrapins right now that, you know, are overshadowing this week one football game. Can you really lay the two touchdowns with Texas here, though, Tony?
You know, that's a good question. I've pondered this for quite a while, but with having head coach suspension issues, you've had a death involving the team, this, that, and the other. I will tell you this about Texas. Remember last year, and Maryland lost like two starting quarterbacks, their first string and their second string quarterback, in a game at Austin last year to open the season and still won. It was an unbelievable football game. But I tell you what, Texas, in my opinion, this year in the Big 12 is a sleeping giant. I think Herman kind of got his feet underneath of him after last year. Maryland is not a good football team. They've got some suspensions they're dealing with here as well in this game. Their head coach has been a little bit embroiled as well. They've had a lot of off-field distractions here. And I'll tell you, Texas has got a great quarterback situation with two solid guys. Although you've seen Texas's record slip over the last three or four years, Adam, the one thing you can look at for Texas being in the top 10 every year, and that's recruiting. And there's a lot of talent that was sitting back last year, redshirt, this, that, and the other, a lot of good players. Pardon me, I think Texas comes out in this game. I'm not a bit shy about telling people, if you got to lay two touchdowns and a hook, go ahead and lay it. I think Texas gets all over them. I think they come out and make a statement in this game. I think Maryland's in big trouble here, honestly.
All right, so let's go to a game that could end up being a little bit more competitive. Another early kickoff here, but this one in Lubbock, game 197-198. Ole Miss and Texas Tech. We've seen Texas Tech take some money here. They're up to a 2.5-point favorite, pretty much market-wide. A couple of twos out there still at some of the shops. But, Tony, this is a very interesting game. An Ole Miss team that, you know, has some guys to replace, a Texas Tech team that has a lot of guys to replace, especially on the offensive side. You seeing any kind of edge in this game?
I'll tell you what, this is absolutely one of those toss-up games, Adam. The one thing, you're going to have a lot more disciplined team in Miss than you are in, obviously, at Texas Tech. You know, I'm not sold on Kingsbury here, but what I am sold on this game is that neither team's going to play a lot of defense. And this is clearly, I think, one of those games where it's going to, both teams are going to be in the 30s. I don't see a lot of defense being played at all, to be honest with you, in this game. Mississippi obviously has SEC talent across the board, which is every bit as good as Big 12, but sometimes not better. I really like the I was worried about a couple of players that were on Texas Tech, so one of their wide receivers. So at the end of the day here, I expect the typical Lubbock shootout. And if you take a look at Mississippi, you always think about the prolific offense that Texas Tech has, and they play little defense. Nothing is going to change. They're much like West Virginia in that respect. With Dana Hogerson at West Virginia, we're just going to figure out a way to outscore you. That's Kingsbury's MO. That's what he's done since he's been in the Big 12. Nothing's going to change that. And if you take a look at Ole Miss, you know, the last six non-conference games they've had, six of them have went over as well. I like the number here. Let me look at that number here. I just double-checked it this morning. It's sitting at 67. I think both teams will be in the 30s here. And I like the over in this game. The side play, too close to go. It could, Adam, this is one of those games where it could be last guy at the ball wins.
Yeah, it certainly very well could be. And a lot of times in those instances, you are looking at a high-scoring game when it is last possession wins. So I think you're definitely onto something there with that one. One more college football game I want to touch on here with you, Tony. Game 211-212, big-time heavyweight title fight in week one, Michigan, Notre Dame in South Bend. Notre Dame, anywhere from a pick to a 2-point favorite, depending on where you look out there in the marketplace. You got any thoughts on this one?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm amazed at the value that if you're back in Notre Dame here that you have. They were up this summer as high as a 7-point favorite in this game. They've been steamed down to a pick 'em. You know, you were talking about the Nebraska-Akron game a minute ago, almost a full touchdown move. Why? I've asked myself this. When is the fascination from the public and the media going to be over with Jim Harbaugh? Just ask yourself a question. What has he done? What has he done since he's been at Michigan? He's never been – what are you measured by if you're a Michigan head coach? How many times you beat Ohio State and how many times you win a Big Ten title? You know what? You know what he is? A big fat goose egg. As a matter of fact, anybody they played – that was any good, they got their ass kicked, especially last year. They got rolled. They had the 105th ranked offense in the country. Now we got all this Shea Patterson thing going on. But you know what? Michigan is only going to be successful if Jim Harbaugh lets loose of the playbook here a little bit. You've got a run option quarterback now. And that is key for them. Harbaugh likes the five-step or the seven-step drop, traditional type offense. And the reason they're getting their butt kicked against good teams is his offense is completely predictable, and he didn't have a quarterback that was that good. So now you got this kid coming over from Ole Miss. You know, he's a talented cat, obviously. Michigan has, I would say, the best defense in college football. As I look at them, they have no apparent weaknesses on defense. You know, third rank last year in the country. And they did lose some players, but they plugged them right back in with some great talent. At the end of the day, in this game, South Bend, they've won 16 out of their last 20 home openers. They've got a good quarterback in Wimbush. Obviously, they're replacing their offensive line here. They have a good defense. I think Michigan's going to struggle a little bit with their offense against Michigan's defense. This is all indicators point towards an under here, which means you almost want to take the over. But I can't see this game any other way than like a 17-13 type ball game. I like the under 47 in this game more so than anything. And if I had to lean on a side, Adam, I would lean Notre Dame. Until Michigan can win a game, they can't even beat Michigan State at home. I mean, I'm telling you, until he can get a big win, and this would be a big win for Michigan. This would be a statement game, you know. And I'm not bashing any Michigan haters or Michigan fans because, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of Michigan, like Nebraska and these other schools, have fans all over the country that are listening to your show. But you know what? It's put up or shut up time for Jim Harbaugh. This is going to have to be the year he does it, and I'm not so sure he can get it done here. So until he does, I'm going to fade him in a spot here. And I think there's a lot of value in that line, dropping almost 6, maybe even 7 points in some spots from a futures line here. But I think the real play here is the under 47. I think points will be at a premium here.
Well, it should be a great opening weekend of college football, to say the least. And, Tony, before I let you go, a couple of other sports markets I want to ask you about real quickly. As you mentioned, week 4 of the NFL preseason here tonight. Lots of guys that probably aren't going to make the roster going to be deciding your bet here this evening. Guys that are going to make the practice squad. Guys that maybe play on special teams at some point throughout the year. Lots of third and fourth string quarterbacks, stuff like that, all in action here tonight. I know you always adopt the less is more approach, and it's been something that's been very successful for you. What do you do with week 4 of the preseason?
Well, I try and avoid it at all costs if I can. There's not a lot of value. You'll notice that a lot of the numbers in the totals market, for instance, I guess you can call me Tony the Total King today because that's all I've been talking about. But there's value in these. And you notice a lot of these totals that were in the 40s, mid to high 40s the last couple of weeks. There's not a game in the 40s this week because there's not going to be a lot of scoring. So you find a couple of teams maybe that are working on third and fourth string quarterbacks, and you try and look for an underplay in some of these games. It's going to be real interesting. I think there's one tonight here. Both Atlanta and Miami are winless in the preseason, and Atlanta's at home here catching a point. That looks a little tasty. Tonight, I also kind of like the Steelers at home against the Panthers, laying the 2.5 this week as well. But, it's such a dangerous week because you don't know. You need to look at that quarterback depth. The one thing I've noticed about the Steelers the entire preseason is the fact that their defense has played extremely well. They've averaged allowing less than 300 yards per game. You're not going to see much of anything out of Carolina this week. They're going to protect everybody. And so for that reason, I think maybe you might want to circle Pittsburgh on your rotation sheet this week, the way their defense has played. I think they'll continue to have some success at home against Carolina this week. But for the most part, wait till week one, ladies and gentlemen. It's right around the corner.
Yeah, it definitely is. It'll be very interesting to see what that NFL line market looks like. We'll obviously see a feeding frenzy on Sunday, as I talked about in my previous segment, when it comes to college football and guys looking to take advantage of overreactions. But we'll have to wait and see when these NFL numbers start to move, because, of course, they've been up as long, if not longer, other than the college week one lines were up. So, Tony, last thing I'll ask you about here to tie a bow on this Thursday show. You're having a strong baseball season. Anything stand out to you here tonight that you want to pass along to our listeners?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I'm up a 4-0 sweep the last 2 days, and we're sitting at, I think eighth in the rankings right now, and had kind of a rough week last week, a hit-and-miss week, and lost three or four units. And this week we bounced back with nothing but wins. I've got my run line game of the month tonight. This is a 6-unit play, which is very rare. Of course, it's guaranteed over docks. I'm not going to take my eye off the ball here. We're up over 100, I think it's 104 units this year. So we're in, with a year like that, Major League Baseball, I'm not going to lose focus just because football's here. But I guess one game here that really intrigues me, I put this up on my free video play I do on YouTube every day. I do a free play video on there and do promotions for Docs. You can catch it on YouTube. Just type in Tony George and Doc Sports. But one game I like the Rockies tonight. San Diego gave Seattle some games here, but San Diego, the last 63 games they've won 18. The last 29 games they played at home, they've won 7. The Rockies are a half a game behind Arizona. Every game counts for them. You take a look at Lauer on the hill tonight for the Padres, 11.25 ERA. And, oh, by the way, he's backed up against a bullpen when the last 5 games where their ERA is almost 6. And, of course, Marquez, 1.29 ERA for the Rockies, 12 out of their last 17 they've won. I like him in this spot on the road to get it done tonight against the Padres here. Big time. I think that is a rock. If I wouldn't have had a top play, when I have a top play like today, where I have guys moving in, kind of double the normal wager or whatever at them, I don't put any other plays with it. If I would have lowered the units on my top play today, I would have had this as a premium play on my card, but this is a solid free play today. Get on the Rockies tonight, you win some money.
Herman Marquez has been fantastic on the road and fantastic in his last several starts as well. So,
That boy's dialed in.
He certainly has been. He's been a guy that I've been focusing on a lot in my picks and tips piece, which, again, you can find every day over at bangthebook.com from a sabermetrics standpoint. So really looking at a lot of the advanced metrics, and Marquez is a guy I isolated a while ago. So definitely on the same mindset as you here tonight, Tony, with that Rockies-Padres game. As you mentioned, free picks and videos, and, of course, your client play is available at Doc Sports. What else you guys got going on over there right now?
Well, we got a great football special. My college and pro football package is $200 off for the entire season pass. When you go over to DocSports.com, you can call customer service or email them over there. And, of course, bear in mind, Doc Sports has the best customer service in the industry. There are no salesmen. It's either Wade, the owner, or Guy, our customer service rep. You can contact them via email. Just mention the Bang the Book special when you call them or email them, and we'll get $200 off my season pass. And with that, you get a week free of my Major League Baseball, and you get two other handicappers of your choice on the website and get their football free between now and September 17th to not only have my package, but to sample two other guys for free. And you throw in a week of my top 10 ranked baseball. That's a 3-for-1 special over at Doc's. Just to get a hold of them over there and say you heard it on Bang the Book with Adam and Tony. And we'll give you one of the best specials out there here. And off a down year last year. You know, Adam, I'm always 100% transparent with you and tell it like it is, wear my heart on my sleeve. I did not have a good year last year in football. I made the move to Docs. There were some adjustments to be made, some time game releases to be made. Not excuses, just did not have a good year. I've worked as hard in this offseason as I ever have to get ready for a football season, and you will be rewarded with that if you come invest in me this year.
And, of course, you can follow Tony on Twitter at TGeorgeSports and at DocSports. Tony, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Adam.
Good stuff there from two sound professional handicappers on today's show, Brad Powers from BradPowersSports.com and also Tony George from over at DocSports. On our Friday edition of Bang the Book Radio, still no Brent. He's actually traveling, hoping to get back in by tomorrow so that he can get back to work and get back to the things that he needs to do. But, of course, that means I can't record with him here today. So I do apologize for that, especially because we've had a lot of action on these games over the summer and all that type of thing. But we should be good with Brent for next week to talk week two college football and week one NFL. So I am looking forward to that. And also next week I'll start with my first round of Super Contest picks. But speaking of the Super Contest, going to have Scott Cooley from DSI join me on tomorrow's show. We're going to talk about the Westgate Super Contest, also our Bang the Book Super Contest, and then we'll be talking about something special that they have going on over at DSI Sportsbook. We'll talk a little bit about the redesign as well and everything that goes into that side of the business. And to finish up the show, unless I opt to find another guest here, I'll probably talk a little bit of my follow-up college football thoughts, maybe a little bit of MLB for the weekend as well. One of the things that is kind of a challenge for me overall here on the shows is trying to figure out how much of my handicapping insight and betting insight I want to put into the program, my personal power ratings and things of that sort, as opposed to just letting the handicappers and the bettors, the professionals, do their thing. I've told you this before. I think that I'm relatively sharp when it comes to this industry, but also I'm a podcast host and a writer. They're the people that do this for a living. So I make sure to let them shine here on the shows, but maybe I'll incorporate a little bit more of my thoughts here on this Friday show as I do with the Super Contest segment, which is, again, all my handicapping for the NFL. So we'll be starting our Super Contest segments there for week one next week, but we'll talk a little bit about them tomorrow with Scott Cooley from DSI Sportsbook. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.